Hello? Can everybody hear me? Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming, especially because of the weather, and I know how early in the morning this all is. Welcome to The Art of Self-Branding. So before I get started, I'm going to introduce myself really briefly. My name is Leia Alcantara, and I run Leia Design in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So it sounds just like that princess, so if you get confused, it's Leia. Who here's even heard of Edmonton, Alberta? Awesome! Oh my god! I didn't really expect that. But for those of you who didn't know where Edmonton, Alberta is, if you know BioWare, makers of Mass Effect and Baldur's Gate, such as those things, that's where it comes from, Edmonton, Alberta. And I want to make a couple of things clear about this presentation. I'm not going to talk about how to design your brand, how to research your brand, or talk about social networking branding techniques. The social networking one is going to be in the room next door at 11:30. So what am I going to focus on today? I'm going to be focusing on how to make your personal brand a success, specifically the top five aspects to make a personal brand a success. And I want to start off with a little Entourage clip. Who's seen this clip? No? Oh, one. But when you guys see this, you'll understand why. Sound, please. I don't hear any sound. No go. But basically, this clip is from the TV show Entourage, and they're trying to pitch to the main character, Vinny Chase, on how they want to market their services. And they essentially go through all the big brand names like Apple and Mercedes.
Vincent Chase. Microsoft. McDonald's. Vincent Chase. Brand name recognition.
Sure, absolutely. Oops. I apologize.
Mercedes. Coca-Cola. Two of the most recognizable names on the planet. Vincent Chase. We intend to make you as popular as both of them.
Apple. Canon. Vincent Chase.
Microsoft. McDonald's. Vincent Chase. Brand name recognition. What do you think?
I think I need to think.
Vince.
It's pathetic, Art.
And I wanted to show that clip specifically because a lot of people think that's what self-branding is about, that it's self-centered, style with no substance, that it's just about like branding a company. That's exactly why they're comparing it to Microsoft, Vincent Chase. That's not what self-branding is about. Branding a company is different because you can take a step back because a company is not a person. Yes, it's made up of people, but you can take an emotional step back and it's very intangible. I mean, it's very tangible. There's many restrictions already set out for you. And the biggest difference with branding yourself is that there's little to no restrictions. And at first that might seem really awesome, but that's actually quite difficult to do when branding yourself because creativity is bred within constraints. And without constraints, you don't even know where to begin. And on top of that, branding yourself is very, very subjective. Now it's personal. Who's seen this comic? A few of you. But I think this is the best way to really explain the differences between branding and other type of business aspects. So this is marketing. This is public relations. This is advertising. And this is branding. And what I want you guys to focus on is the first two words she says. I understand. And if you guys brand a company or brand yourself, that's the two words you want your customers, your target, your sales should say. And another reason why I brought this up is because brands are built on what people are saying about you, not about what you're saying about yourself. And when I first started this journey about self-branding, 3 years ago, I started Leilea Design, and I didn't know where to begin, and I did some research, and I documented it all in a series called The Art of Self-Branding on my website. And one of the biggest advice that I gave people is to become an amnesiac. And the reason why I tell you to become an amnesiac is because branding a company is essentially like an amnesiac. You have an idea, a feeling of how things should be, but you have no clue where to start. You're a little bit lost. But everyone else around you has a perception about who you are already. And what you need to do is pretend you're an amnesiac and ask those types of questions. Who am I? Who are you? And once you have those questions, you answer a lot of things that, who are you, who cares, and then you compile all that, those answers to create a brand promise. And a brand promise is basically a summary of what you're going to deliver and what your target will expect of you. And like anything, with a broken promise, it becomes a broken brand. And now I'm going to reveal to you the top five aspects of a successful brand. I found these through the Interbrand 2007 Marketers Report. And in ascending order of importance, they are relevance. Do you make sense? Creative design brand identity. Does your look match? Message communication. Do you talk the talk? Understanding the customer and target. Do you know who you're talking to? And then finally, and most importantly, consistency. Can we expect the same quality in everything you say, touch, or do? Now, I was thinking of many ways on how I could explain this and tie it back to personal branding, and I thought the best analogy I could think of is the nice guy versus the guy's guy. So why is the nice guy, with everything he's got to offer, he's actually a great guy, never getting the girl? And why is the guy's guy not only getting the girl, but getting a lot of them? And the bottom line difference is branding. So in this room alone, you're sitting beside somebody with comparable experience and skill set as you. You might even be better than them. But the bottom line in business is talent is not enough. Perception is almost everything. Not everything, almost everything. And perception is shaped through branding. And today I'm going to be using two main examples of companies that I'm going to compare. And just for simplicity's sake, or else if I talked about too many brands, this will be a 3-hour, 8-hour talk. So the nice guy today will be played by Wasabe.com. Who here knows Wasabe or has used Wasabe? Okay, a few of you. And since those people who use Wasabe, you guys might have an idea who might be using for the guy's guy. mint.com. Who here knows or uses Mint? Okay, a lot more than you. And that illustrates my point exactly. For those who don't know what Wasabe or Mint is, they're online personal finance management applications. They're both free, and they both launched around the same time. And why did I pick these two? So let's just look at a few stats here. They're very comparable companies. They have different approaches, but generally the same goal, to help people manage their personal finances. And why does Mint, with very comparable funding, launched a year later, has monthly unique statistics of 6,000 more unique hits per month, and 110,000 more unique users. I feel like that's a huge, huge disparity over two really comparable products. And I just want to preface this by saying that I think Wasabe is a great service. The point is that the nice guy is actually, he's a great guy, but good enough is not good enough. We're all of us here, I'm sure, are reaching for excellence. And that's the reason why I'm trying to compare Wasabe and Mint. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is relevance. Do you make sense? And you can gain relevance through looking around you. What is your environment? That's through the cultural influence, social climate, economic indicators, geographical realities, and technological trends. So in this case, the nice guy thinks that just because something worked before doesn't mean it's going to work again. Just because he dated the prom queen in high school doesn't mean he's going to be dating supermodels the rest of his life. So the guy's guy, however, knows that staying the same essentially means staying stagnant. He's the guy who changes his approaches to what works now. He doesn't ignore the past, but he evolves with the times. Now, to just have a really blatant example, most of my examples here today will be design-related for simplicity's sake. So this was Wasabe's tour page in November of 2006. And this is Wasabe's page today, 2008. I don't know, did you guys blink? Because the pages actually did change. If you do a search of Wasabe on Google, you quickly find that despite the quality of service, people continually complain about the lack of thought into the user interface, the graphic design. And to the point that Jason Knight embarrassedly replies to these blog posts to say, yes, yes, we do have a designer. It's not his fault. It sucks. And I don't know if they get enough of this type of feedback, and after two or almost a year and a half, they still don't do much about it. There's a problem. Now, this is Mint's blog in May of 2007. Okay, everybody's got to start somewhere, and Mint was nothing but a blog. And not only that, a default WordPress template to boot. Pretty bad. Now this is Mint's blog today. And you can see that Mint understands that even though the blog was providing the same content, it's not about the quality of the content, it's about the presentation. And that in the past they understood that they needed to evolve with the times and to match their current site. So that's much, much better than that. Now I'll be talking about the brand identity. And this is the most obvious part that people focus on, because if you compare a brand to a person, this is the face of a brand. So it's the most obvious. When I asked my colleagues for examples of good and bad brands, the first thing they mentioned were the logos. But I want to emphasize that branding is the sum of all of its parts. It's not just the logo. If you just focus on the logo, you miss out a lot on your business. And you ignore the rest of the brand. And this is important because in a book called The Media Equation, Reeves and Nass said, people attribute personality to products based on their appearance and how they interact. With that in mind, the nice guy doesn't seem to realize that. His outfits don't match his personality. It's the last thing on his mind. While the guy's guy, he presents himself in a way that matches his personality. In the case of branding a service or product, the nice guy understands that it's just the logo. It doesn't matter. Well, the guy's guy knows that branding your identity, your creative design is more than that. So this is Wasabe today. Wasabe's blog today. And before I even get over to the really, really obvious problem about the fact that Wasabe's blog looks like that, let's just talk about the name Wasabe. When I think about Wasabe, the first thing I think of is a burning sensation in my mouth because it reminds me of wasabi. And I don't really necessarily know if that type of association is what you should have for a financial management site. So that's a problem. And not only that, wasabe, it's easy to confuse, hard to remember, hard to type, especially for people that are still trying to figure out what they want to do in the online space. And now let's just address the obvious part here. After $4.7 million in funding, this is unacceptable. Having a WordPress default free template for your blog, not even matching the very simple design they have, unacceptable. This clearly shows that Wasabe simply doesn't care about their presentation. Now, I'll just go back to Mint again. This clearly shows their dedication over how they present themselves and how they match their entire site and to make people realize that, yes, you're on mint.com. And in a recent interview at workhappy.net, their CEO, Aaron Pastor, even went so far to say how hard they fought for their domain name because Mint, that has so many positive correlations to finance. You know, pretty obvious, easy to spell, easy to remember. And he also mentioned in that same interview that one of the very big factors in building trust, when I think about finances, I think about trust. So one of the biggest factors is that the design quality helps build that trust. So this is a really big night and day difference between Wasabe and Mint. So message and communication. Emotion is the experience in user experience, and you need to convey that through your body copy. So in this case, the nice guy could be sometimes called the tryhard. He's the one who thinks he's saying all the right things because he's saying the things that he thinks people want them to say. He's saying the things that people think he wants them to say, not what he is naturally inclined to say. Meanwhile, the guy's guy, like in that dating analogy I mentioned, for example, if he wrote a profile on Match.com, you know, and the woman goes out on a date with him, she is really pleased to see that not only is what she read there accurate when she meets him, everything is relaxed, everything is natural because what he's saying matches what she already previously read. And now to give it a text example, on the front page of Wasabe, they have a little blurb to say, why join Wasabe? Save money, spend wisely, and reach your goals. Sounds pretty good. I mean, that's not bad at all. Doesn't give me too much information, though, about as to how that was going to happen and how that benefits me specifically and how it's talking to me specifically. In contrast, Mint.com, instead of even asking you to join, they list, why will you love Mint? They start using emotional trigger words. They're starting to talk to you as another human being. And not only that, they specifically target you. You're always up to date. You know your spending. You find real savings. We look out for you. You're safe and secure. And one of the things I found really confusing that Wasabe didn't do is that they didn't make it very prominent that their service was free. It's there. It says it's free, but Mint blatantly mentions and emphasizes that their service is free. Now, understanding the customer and target, do you know who you're talking to? So, unsurprisingly, the nice guy doesn't understand women. He doesn't even want to understand. He thinks it's too much. He tries to appeal to every type of woman because he's so desperate to get one, anyone will do. And in that way, if everyone's special, no one's special. And what type of customer wants to join a company or use their service if they don't feel special? Meanwhile, the guy's guy not only doesn't target to everyone, he only wants to target a few. And that means he knows that certain people are special, so those people will feel special. So here's some facts about Wasabe. They serve 30 countries already. And at first, that seems really good. Wow, they can accommodate so many other people. But on the flip side of that, accommodating too much too soon means that they spread out the quality of technical support and research. And I don't know about you, but yes, finances are finances, but each country has their own special ways of how they handle banks, credit cards, et cetera, and so forth. And on top of that, the different types of cultures. And trying to do that all at the same time might have diluted the quality of their service. And another thing on Wasabe's homepage, and we're talking about branding, building trust, and finances. If you're going to share your information to the web, you want to have that type of trust. They do have their list of features slideshow link, and it goes nowhere. It tells you, yes, we're secure. How? If I'm going to give you my credit card number, if I'm going to, you know, dump in my information, even though you tell me it's secure, how? I want to know. It goes nowhere. And another most obvious thing that Wasabe doesn't do is that they don't even have an easy way to find what banks / credit cards they use. They do mention, oh, yes, we take 3,000 credit cards or 3,000 banks, but that's irrelevant if none of those banks are mine. And not being able to find those pieces of information as easily is a problem. Meanwhile, Mint focused on the U.S. for now. And as a Canadian, that's a little bit annoying, but I can understand that means they're possibly trying to fix out the kinks in their own country, in something they understand themselves first before branching out. That's what Amazon did, and that's what Mint's doing. And not only that, their homepage, their benefits are outlined very clearly, very repeatedly, and they're all linked. Imagine that. I can find the information I want. And on top of that, they understand that one of the most immediate things people want to know if they want to use your service is, yeah, we can accept your bank. Here are a few logos. And they also understand that by showing those logos, they build trust by positioning themselves with other trust builders. Ooh, you okay? All right. And then finally, consistency, which is essentially the most important part of building your brand and implementing your brand. Everything I've talked about up to this point is led towards consistency. Can we expect the same quality in everything you say, everything you touch, everything you do? Is it WYSIWYG? Is what I see what I get? So the nice guy, very simply, he's all over the place. He has the hardest time trying to put everything together while the guy's guy knows how to put everything together. So wasabi in the end, great service as it may be, fails most out of all of them through consistency. And quick research of the company and bloggers, it shows that they're really quite happy with the service, but if they have a good product and such, but if they don't immediately make it apparent to potential customers and their current customers, the high quality through branding, then people will start leaving and they'll continue to lag behind Mint. And I don't want to say that Mint is a perfect company. I definitely don't believe that. I think that there's still room for growth. That being said, that if it continues on its path and strives to improve their brand in line with their service, then they will continue to succeed. And here are some numbers regarding the Interbrand Marketers Report. 36% consistency. The rest are, you know, they're still pretty high up there, but consistency is number one. Now, if there's one last word I'm going to leave you with here in regards to branding yourself and personal branding, that word is crap. Specifically, persist through crap. I found this through Richard St. John's Secrets of Success in 8 Words, 3 Minutes. It's at TED Talks. Please take a look at that. It's awesome. And it's basically persist through criticism, rejection, assholes, and pressure, especially when you're dealing with a personal brand. And that's my presentation. I appreciate all the time you've given me today, especially coming in at such horrible weather and such an early time. And I'm sure a lot of you guys are still half asleep. I hope you've had as much fun as I have. So I'd love to open the floor for questions. If you have a really good question, I'm going to pass along Mel Kirk's Ogi Senior MacBook sleeve here for you guys. So, questions? If you're going to be in the web design industry, absolutely, it's important. Oh, sorry. The question was, how important are logos, especially if you're branding yourself? And my answer is, yes, it's absolutely important, especially in this web space, to have a logo, because logos give you that impression of professionalism and just adds that extra bit of cherry on top of the cake. Yes?
Hi, my name is Amanda Hirsch. My question is, how do you overcome the challenges of people outside the industry not having a really good understanding of the difference between someone who works in web design, someone who's a tech, and someone who does content? Like, I'm a content person, and whenever I say that, people go, oh, so you design websites. Nope. So how do you
differentiate between the different
disciplines
through your brand? Well, essentially, you have to educate the people you're talking to. Right? Because this is just an issue over, no, I'm not a designer. You just have to consistently present yourself if you do have a website that it's all about the text, it's all about your body copy. And the main thing is, if you have anything that links towards like web design or whatever, it's probably best to eliminate those types of associations and just say, yes, web content. Hi.
Hey, thank you for the presentation. It was very insightful. Small disconnect for me. I'm wondering why you chose to use websites as examples for personal branding instead of individuals. And in that case, if you could give us a couple examples of who you consider to be the best personal brands out there, how they do what they do, and some of the worst, that might be interesting. And then a personal branding plug, Corbett3000 on Twitter. So I'll see you guys out there.
Okay. The reason why I decided to use web apps is because in regards to personal branding and things like that in the tech space, there's a few people that are doing it actively. And the biggest examples I could find that do it really actively are celebrities. And, you know, specifically Hollywood celebrities. And I wanted something that was relevant to this audience. So that's why I decided to use these web apps, these websites as the examples. And then I wanted to tie it back using the nice guy, guy's guy thing to bring it back to people. In regards to branding themselves, a really, really good personal marketer, personal brander has to be, of course, Madonna. Great relevance throughout the years, always evolves herself, always presents herself consistently, despite the fact that when she switches whatever persona that she wants to present to her her current audience at the time, it's always very, 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 very consistent throughout the entire process. Another really great example, Gene Simmons, Family Jewels, Kiss. He really puts himself out there. He continually emphasizes like his legend back, how he slept with 4,600 women and, you know, all these types of things. And on top of that, he positions himself with the Kiss brand as well. So that's a great one. Another celebrity that's failed, of course, recently in personal branding is Britney Spears. Back when she was in her heyday, perhaps because she was surrounded by so many business people and such, that she presented a really, really consistent image. And then ever since, her career started faltering or she wanted to take more control, she lost that type of consistent viewership. And unlike Madonna, who stirs up controversy each time she does something, Britney's still all over the place. So that's, you know, a couple of people. Yeah, I would agree. This gentleman just mentioned that a couple of good examples of people in this industry or in this space for personal branding. Tim Ferriss, absolutely, for the 4-Hour Workweek, who's consistently presented himself in every single touch point, through the web, in person, in writing, through his blog. He's definitely a great personal brander. And the other example that he mentioned was Jason Fried of 37 Signals. But in regards to that one, though, I'm not sure it's as strong as Tim Ferriss, because Tim Ferriss is his product, you know? Tim Ferriss is his own product. While Jason Fried, 37 Signals, they still have that difference. Yes?
Hi, thanks for your presentation today. I was just wondering, it seems you spoke a little bit to branding and the consistency and the importance of being consistent for branding. You also spoke to branding as a process.
Yeah.
And there seems to be some conflict there, and I was wondering if you could reconcile that branding is over time a gut feeling for your audience or the people who know you or know your company, and there seems to be some conflict.
Oh, okay.
Between it being a process but yet being so consistent and getting it right every time. Because,
well, there's a process to get to the point of knowing. There's a process in getting to know who you are, but you need to be reactive and not be inflexible over what that message is once you reach that point. You have to listen to your users and see and direct it from that point on. This gentleman over here.
Hi, my name's Scott Babb from Pixel Media. I've gone through a couple of these, the process of self-branding with our company. And, some of the larger agencies have actually subbed out, their brand, and they've become the client and see it evolve. I'm kind of curious about what you think about that, as a process.
I think that is an interesting process. And I know, a few people who have done that. And I think part of the reason why that could be quite successful is because, again, part of the reason why it's so hard to brand yourself is because it's so subjective. And by having somebody else take a look at what your goals are in that objective space, that eliminates that type of problem, that type of subjective, let's keep our goals in line instead of changing my mind. When you have somebody else said, you told me these were your goals, then I think if that is what they decide to do, that could be quite successful. That being said, if I do believe that if you're going to brand yourself, you should brand yourself. And
so with with company branding, I think even more so with personal branding, because it's personal.
Yep.
A big issue can be reputation management, specifically when you develop a negative brand.
Absolutely.
Or your brand gets away from you. You mentioned Britney Spears, great example.
Yeah. yeah.
I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on how you reset your brand. Maybe some tips on what's the quickest and most efficient way to recover a negative brand. And do you go through an entire rebranding process, or do you keep the same brand? Is it better to keep the same brand and rebuild that brand?
Depends on how far you've gotten, right? Like if you're a really, really big brand, then I think one of the easiest things and fastest things that people do in order to do some damage control if there's been some problem is they align themselves, they position themselves with people who already have a good reputation and they have people who vouch for them. So essentially that's one of the quickest ways for people, because at the end of the day, people are pretty forgiving, especially even in the celebrity space, that as long as you provide me good service, good content, et cetera, and so forth, that if you reposition yourself with a more positive space and you still provide a good service, good product, because that's at the bottom line. You can have a crappy logo, but a great service. You know what I mean? You can't have a great logo and a bad service, for example. This gentleman?
Hi. How does this translate to the job search? Specifically, is the one-dimensional resume, you know, history? And how do you translate this specifically to the resume?
That's an excellent question, because one of the journeys about personal branding is also finding out what is the most appropriate for you. Because part of the problem with some people is they realize that they've been targeting the wrong audience all along. That wasn't what job they needed. That wasn't the position they needed. This wasn't the company that they wanted. Like they just decided, oh, this company was a big name. Perhaps this is where I need to belong. But when you go through the process of researching yourself and self-branding, it actually becomes self-selecting over to what you can eliminate and what you want to have. And it's interesting that you mentioned the job search, because I do know a colleague of mine who's had some difficulty with actually being herself during the job process, because she felt like she needed to portray what people expect of her as opposed to what was actually genuine. And what we need to do is always, always portray what is genuine. And when she started speaking in more colloquial terms and presenting herself more genuinely, she actually got a lot more callbacks, because generic business-sounding terms gets ignored. Yes?
Danny Kessler, clubenetwork.com. I'm wondering, I would love your analysis of yesterday's keynote as far as how Zuckerberg and Lacey were kind of messing with their brands.
Yeah, you can have the laptop cover. In regards to that, I think the damage was more in the interviewer's side. I think mostly, though, Zuckerberg has managed to be pretty consistent over his reputation. So that's not going to change. He's fine. She, however, has damage control to do. So essentially, what she might be able to do in order to do that is, especially because she wrote a book on Zuckerberg, et cetera, and so forth, is if she wins him over and he vouches for her, then most people will probably realign herself themselves with her again. In a positive light, of course. Yes, sir?
Hi, my name is Stan. I'm a nice guy.
hi.
Just give me a call. Actually, I have a question. So I work for a nonprofit that actually does a good deal of counter-branding.
Counter-branding. And how would you define that?
Well, it'll come up in my question. Do you have any suggestions for ways to find and exploit weaknesses in brand?
Oh, so, okay. Within your own brand or within other brands to exploit them?
Within other brands. Say, for instance, Company A is making claims that that are not rooted in fact. And then might have a very big budget in order to reiterate these claims. So it becomes part of their brand. And a lot of what we do is sort of separate that from the actual reality of the situation. So
So it's like a versus thing. It's an interesting one. I think at this point, like it depends on like how, you know, how ethical do you want to take this to the point where whether you call these people out in your own marketing scheme and then overemphasizing that you guys are the ones that are actually delivering what they claim to be delivering. So, very difficult question. I'm not 110% sure how to address that without thinking about it a little bit longer.
Thank you.
Sorry, I like... Yeah. Okay, Nathan here mentioned truth.com as an example of that, where they're really quite anti-tobacco, but they're using more ethical and educational resources to get their message out. And yes?
Just want to say the magical amount video they did is incredible, but leave that aside. I come from the book and author world.
The
book and author world.
Okay.
And I look at it from a different perspective. It's about celebrity, I guess. It's about personal promotion and creating a brand, except that when you're writing books, sometimes it takes a while to crank them out.
Yeah.
There are some authors that take 10, 20 years,
yeah.
Some of them 5 years.
Yeah.
And to me, the answer seems, I mean, one of the criteria that you should have listed or that should have been listed was frequency, getting
yes.
yourself in the public eye a lot.
Absolutely.
And I guess I'm going to ask this question and just make another question is slow marketing. How do you do slow marketing over a period of time? You don't have immediate goals, but you have long-term goals. And then another related question we have in the author world is the author himself or herself better positioned to do self-promotion, or is it better to have an outside agent do it?
Okay. The first one in regards to slow marketing, the best way to do that is through relationships. When you build relationships, you don't get immediate rewards, but eventually down the road, there might be something relevant for that person to take advantage of in a positive light. So the best way to do a slow marketing is make some friends, make genuine friends. And the other question was, sorry, in regards to, is the writer should... I think the writer should promote himself because at the end of the day, they know themselves better. They can have somebody, like an outside person, give their objective opinion, and you should ask for that objective opinion. But at the end of the day, you control your own destiny, so you should take control of yourself and your own promotion. Hi.
Hey. So these days we've got, especially if you're a freelancer, you've got, you know, a lot of ways to connect to people, Twitter, your blog, and then the professional interactions that you have with people. So I was wondering if you brand your personal interactions with people. So like, are you conscious of your brand when you're Twittering? Are you conscious of your brand every time you, you know, write a blog or an email to a friend who's going to talk to a different friend, or you show up at a big tech conference and go bowling? Are you always conscious of your personal brand, or how do you kind of manage that? It seems like it's getting harder all the time.
In regards to being conscious, it's not necessarily about being conscious of my personal brand, because my personal brand is myself. So I don't think about, like, am I being myself at 110% of the time? I'm more conscious over, is this a professional setting or is this a personal setting? That's the only real differentiating thing. Like, yes, when I write a blog post, for example, I am more concerned over how I present myself through there consistently with what people align themselves with me professionally than I am when I'm speaking to them person to person. Because when I speak to someone in person, I don't have an underlying motive beyond seeing what they have to say and building a relationship that's genuine.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Right? That it? One more? Yeah. The thought process into making my own logo, it was essentially the becoming an amnesiac. That's where I went through. And then I did an adjective game. And I basically asked several very different types of people in my life, different types of relationships in my life, to give me three short adjectives to tell me, who do you think I am? How do you describe myself? In three adjectives, no more, no less. And I asked, you know, ex-boyfriends, friends of mine that have been friends for like 8 years, to somebody I just met, you know, a month ago. And then I compile all that information. And then I did a comparison over which words started to repeat. Because it was quite interesting how many people described me quite similarly, no matter what relationship I was with them. And so that's something I encourage people to do, is just to ask varied people what their opinion is in very succinct terms, because branding is about getting all that type of information in a short amount of time as possible, in the most obvious way possible. Yes?
For the sake of discussion, I did want to disagree with your last answer about whether or not you always have to be conscious about your personal brand, whether you're emailing or Twittering or what have you. I think you have to be conscious 100% of the time. And while you do want to project absolutely who you are and be who you are, that person is different depending on your audience, as you said. So in a professional setting, you may want to Twitter a little bit more about that new protocol tech geeky thing that you're working on, because you understand your audience is kind of oriented that way.
Yeah.
And then when you're out at the bar, you understand, especially here, there are other people mixing and mashing up those different worlds of yours. I have friends here. I have clients here. I have all of those folks. So unfortunately, in this hyper-connected world, we do have to be 100% always thinking about our personal brand. And that is the art of personal branding.
Okay. In regards to that, like, I agree where the direction you're mentioning, but I don't think we're really disagreeing as much over the entire point, because with me, I'm saying that I'm not 100% conscious in that I'm not actively thinking it all the time, because when you're yourself, then you shouldn't have to be overthinking all the time. You know what I'm saying? That you should already be naturally presenting yourself consistently through, in a professional or even personal setting. Yep.
Hi. We recently went through a branding exercise at my company, and we did an exercise developing personas.
Yep.
How do you feel about that for the primary, secondary users of your site? Is that a worthwhile exercise, something that you do or recommend?
I don't actively recommend that. It's like, I don't have any problems with that, but I think the best thing is just find people with those traits and talk to them. Instead of like, let's make a scenario, you know? So that's where I come from. Wow, this is great. So many questions. Yay!
Hi. I actually just have a client, and their company going to rebranding their company.
Yep.
Unfortunately, their brand, their success company, but in some way, their brand is not very positive to their customer.
Yeah, yeah.
And they actually want to change it to a more user-friendly, positive way.
Yeah.
I just wondering, is that possible to get it done? I mean, since that company is for like 20 years more than that, and their brand is not very positive. Like, when people hear about that company, is most of the time is have some negative feel.
In regards to that, I think that's almost like my slide about relevance, that, you know, companies that they think that, oh yeah, it's been working for 20 years, why should I change anything? Why should I change my approach? And one of the examples of a company that is doing that very poorly and needs to do some recovery is Kodak. They've been around for a long time. They were leaders during their time, especially in the film world. And these days they're struggling because, sorry? Okay. And now they're struggling in this space because, digital photography is becoming more and more prevalent. So they have to, think of other ways on how to become profitable. In regards to that, I think the best thing to do is to focus. If you know, if there is something negative, what they need to do is focus on what's the positive. If the negative stuff is there, you know, that's pretty subjective too. Like something that's negative to you might not be negative to necessarily to their customers or to themselves. So focus is the answer.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh,
you're first.
Whichever. Okay.
Sure. I'd love to for you also to talk about, I guess, Obama versus Hillary brands.
You know, that's quite interesting because when I was deciding to do this presentation, I had a little bit, like, I was really struggling over what kind of examples I was going to use. And I was thinking about the Hillary and Obama brand, especially since several newspapers compare the Mac versus PC. And in regards to that, politicians, that's a perfect way to, perfect examples of self-branding. Because that's essentially what they're doing. They have to sell themselves to a large mass of people, and they have to present themselves very consistently. And you might notice that usually when people attack these politicians, it's because of certain inconsistencies in their behavior or their policies or their responses to certain things. Like, why did you say you were going to support this when now you're not, and blah, 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 et cetera, and so forth. So consistency is very important. In regards to how they branded themselves, I don't have much more comment beyond saying that I think Obama has done an excellent, excellent branding for his campaign. Consistently throughout every single touch point, everything that he touches, he's made sure that everyone understands that his message is one of hope. He's aligned himself with that phrase. His logo is one of the best in the entire campaign, and it's been used to great effect by even independent people that are unaffiliated with his party, et cetera, and so forth. And in regards to that, Hillary hasn't pushed that as far as Obama has, and perhaps if she tapped into that type of intense personal branding scheme, then she would have had a more positive, maybe even as positive or even more positive than Obama's campaign is so far regarding branding.
Thank you.
And
what advice do you have for those of us that are trying to reach two really divergent audiences? For instance, I do corporate finance consulting, but at the same time, I also am doing the whole startup, you know, thing.
Break it up.
Okay.
You have to, I think the best thing to do is separate yourself. I know that certain tech companies, because they have so many different ideas and wants and needs and things like that, and one of the problems is they try to put it under all the same umbrella because they want to have all the same audience, but the reality is they have a different audience. So I think it's much better to separate yourself and target the separate ones individually, because then you'll have, I think, better results than more diluted. Because then, like the lady here who mentioned the copywriting, they think she's a web designer, right? It's better to really focus and say, this is me for this area, and then this is me for this other area.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's it? Anything else? Does anyone really want to have Augie Senior? It's quite beautiful. Oh, wait, one more question, sorry. Oh, okay, all right. All right. Okay. Thank you so much for coming. Thanks very much.